Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how good's footy?
Sean, I think the question you want to ask me is, and you can answer this too, how good's beating the reigning premiers?
Feels good, unfortunately, I remember losing to them by 4 points in the grand final last year. So.
Hey, Sean, you're still in the finals. They are straight-setted into space.
Yeah, that kind of felt familiar. Straight sets, Melbourne. Interesting.
It is.
Did you boys
so funny? Did you boys see who was there twice?
Broden was there.
No. Huh? Simon Goodwin was there.
Oh,
high-fiving the girls as they were coming out. And it's like, you Muppet, you've just cursed that football club. Geelong are going to win.
Good on him.
It's the Broden-Simon Goodwin curse. Neither of them will know happiness, I guess.
Long may it continue. Well, I mean, they did have some happiness.
They had a lot of happiness like 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
But none of them could go.
That's true.
Well, I mean, Simon Goodwin was there.
Simon Goodwin could go. True. That's also true.
So
was it 2020?
This season
it was 2021, wasn't it?
2021.
Yeah, 2021. This season, someone put up a stat. This year, Melbourne as a collective organisation were 29-4 in the home and away series, and then 0-4 in finals.
That can't be right.
That's what I saw. 29-4.
So Melbourne women's team lost how many games during the regular season?
One,
two.
Two?
One?
So you think the Melbourne men's team lost two games all year?
Okay, maybe it's not. Maybe, but it's 29 and maybe six. I don't
Tom,
know, man.
That stat shouldn't have even passed like the first barrier of your tests.
Hey, Tom.
You've got no defenses whatsoever. You see a stat,
Sean,
you recreate it in your mind and you just think it's true.
Tom, how many rounds of AFLM was there and how many rounds of AFLW was there?
Do you want me to tell you how many AFLM rounds? Too many.
24 minus the bye, 23. And then another 10 of AFLW. So that's 33.
29 and 6 then? Does that math work?
No.
Probably not, mate. It's funny watching the gears turn.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't back himself either.
But can I say the problem is I don't care about Melbourne because my team's gone to the prelim finals, baby, and it is beautiful.
Congrats, Tom. Congrats. Who are you playing?
Sean, it's How Good's Footy Gear Cup off to get into the grand final.
I didn't think this would happen. I thought that there would only be one How Good's Footy Cup in the finals, and I was flat to lose it. So flat about losing it that I'm like Matty Pressbar because I didn't actually take much joy in this win. I was happy for you, Tom, but only on a base level. I'm just too sad.
I respect that.
Yeah.
That's fair. I understand that. I was pretty up and about. I was also nearly died. This game took me through the full, I don't know how many emotions science has found, but I felt every single one of them on Sunday afternoon in a period of 2 and a bit hours, which is not enough time to experience that many feelings.
I think in the recently announced Inside Out 2, there is 8 feelings. I don't know if that helps.
Well, if you were inside me, if
Yep.
Good wording. If you were inside me on Sunday, you'd be like, "Whoa, this boy, it's a lot of HSPs."
Tom, is one of the things you were feeling on the weekend, was it extreme arrogance?
No, never. I went into this game and my thing going in was I had belief, because you always do. But I knew that we would have to play the best football that we can play.
Yep.
We would have to be on from the first minute.
Yep.
And we would have to not take the foot off at any point. And one of the things that we have done really well this year is we start well. We have taken our foot off the gas a few times. So I was nervous, I was hopeful, but there was a part of me that's like, if Melbourne win today, and Melbourne were the odds on favourites, as if we lost today, I just needed it to be competitive. I couldn't cop us losing by like 40 points or 60 points like the day before. Like, if we were going to go down, we needed to go down swinging. This was my wildest dream realised. There was just a moment, I was having a share in the morning and I was like, what if we fucking smash them? What if we North Melbourne them? And while that wasn't the final score,
Jesus Christ,
for three quarters.
Good save.
Tom.
For three quarters.
Having that thought in the shower, you deserved everything that was coming for you in that last quarter.
Yeah, geez, Tom, no, how many shower beers were you having? Fuck it, hell.
13.
Well, that's all right. I respect it now. You only deserve the best.
Yeah, it was that, like, that was your wildest fantasy. What if we can do this? And then, and for three quarters, we looked like we were going to bury them. And I knew they were going to come. There was no point that I ever felt relaxed. Like, I think we hit 31 points going into the last quarter, and I was like, it's not enough. I need to kick the first two goals of the last quarter. And instead, they kicked a goal in 19 seconds and then another one 2 minutes later. And I was like, that's the opposite of what I needed to happen.
Yeah.
Tom, would a loss have ruined your life?
No.
At that point in the game, at that point in the game, because we'd been in such a powerful position where it was like, we're in front for the whole day, we've come out and done exactly what I wanted us to do, a loss would have killed me.
Yeah, yeah. But in the shower that morning, would have ruined your life?
No.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it, Joel, to hear this out loud?
It is very disgusting.
Because I was like, I just want them to fight. That was the goal, because we had nothing to lose. We were rank outsiders.
A disgusting mindset.
I just want them to fight.
We're in disgusting territory now.
Yeah. I've never met a game of football that couldn't ruin my life.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Every single game is an opportunity for your life to end.
I agree with that.
That's football.
I've still got a bit of the inner peace from the men's win.
It's funny, because I feel like before that win, you still had this attitude.
Tom, you had inner peace from the 2009 flag still.
I've got inner peace from 07.
Yeah. Geelong could shut down as a football club and you wouldn't even be fazed. You'd be like,
right. No, that would hurt. That would hurt a lot. Don't be ridiculous.
That would hurt a lot. Quote.
That would kill me. I would be exploded.
Dude, that's what I want.
Thousand atoms.
That's
crushed.
What I want.
I would look like Oppenheimer at the end of Oppenheimer, except I would also be the bomb.
I want to stand at your funeral, Tom, and then go to the ground where fucking GMHBA's been like destroyed. It's a hole in the ground, and just scream into it. Look what you've done to my boy.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Tom?
That's what you would have to do.
That feeling.
If Geelong ceased to exist as a club, that's what you would have to do.
Tom, I have that exact feeling from rounds 1 to 8 and then rounds 12 to the end of season every year.
I love that you get 3 weeks of just joy.
No, in the middle, no, it's numbness. In the middle, it's just like kind of like, oh, a win feels good. I could weather a loss. Like, because, the first couple of weeks, the first 8 rounds of the season could change anything for me.
The start of the season is real spicy areas, because like if you lose like the first 2 or the first 3, you just want to die.
Yeah. And you start riding off your season. There. Yep.
Yep.
Well, especially in the W, when the season is so short, the margin for error in the women's comp is like a quarter of what it is in the men's comp. And in the men's comp, there's still not a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because for the Brisbane women's team, like I reckon they had maybe two bad games, maybe 3 at a stretch. And I was like, this is it. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
We had 3 bad games and you almost finished 5th because of it.
Yeah, or even lower. Like, came pretty close to fucking, could have finished like seventh, I think, in that final round.
Jesus.
Insane.
Yeah, it's a stressful period. And I think it shows that you can have a wobble, Sean, in the home and away season, as Brisbane did. Geelong had a wobble. Melbourne yes. had a wobble late and unfortunately couldn't get back up.
What did I tell you, mate? I told you they've come a dry at the end of the year.
They came at us like lightning in the fourth quarter, and I knew they would. But for those three quarters, I was watching this Melbourne team, this juggernaut team that I was terrified of. And Geelong, we were just carving them up. Like, our midfielders, there were so many passages of play where Amy McDonald, Nina Morrison, or Georgie Prasparkas, there would be four Melbourne players around them. One of them might get a fingernail on them, or if they did, they'd just shrug them out of the tackle. Like, they just bulldozed them for three quarters. It was ridiculous. It was fucking awesome to see. So fucking good.
I was trying to do some research, Tom, because I was worried about next week for you, because your best player, after I said that she was relatively inconsistent through the year, absolutely dominated. But Nina Morrison awesome. Yes. was listed as injured at the end of the game.
Nah,
but yes, she's not injured.
No, she was stuck on the bench.
They interviewed Dan Lather afterwards, and he said she'd come off with a calf cramp, and they were working on it. And he looked to her when the ball came back for that goal, and he was like, "She's not going to be able to make it back on in time for the 6-6-6."
Yeah,
he was like, "I back him in, stay on the bench." Oh boy,
Brian.
He also said if he had any more hair left, it would have gone.
That's good.
This is the problem for coaches.
Yeah,
start bald.
Not to.
This is our weekly venture into the NBA. Tom knows this very well. One thing I love about watching basketball is looking at the coaches. They all look like they want to die. They all look like all their kids hate them. Their fucking marriages have fallen apart. Their life is hanging in the balance every single game. It's pure entertainment.
The only one who looks semi-okay is Steve Kerr, because he's overseen maybe the most successful team of the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And it's been easy for him. So he's got a full head. He's the only one with a full head of hair. They've either shaved their heads. There's a guy who's the coach for the Knicks?
He looks like he's been married seven times.
every minute of basketball is taking 100 years of his life.
Yeah, Steve Kerr does look really good, but I reckon the morning after the game the other day, he probably was brushing his hair in the mirror and a few little hairs fell out, and he went, "Fuck, Draymond Green."
Well, no, the other day when Gilgeous Alexander hit 36 or 40 or something absurd like that and buried him in OT.
Yeah.
He got up the next day. So he lost some with Draymond. He got up the next day and he's like, "Are these bags under my... what the fuck is this?"
He calls up his old teammate, Michael Jordan. He's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Michael Jordan's like, just like, "It's happening to you."
Happened to me in the 80s.
I own Charlotte. It'll happen to you.
Going back to AFLW and injuries, though, and just a shout out to our good friend Gemma Bastiani, who's written a very funny article about this. Guncat probably unlikely for prelim. Star Geelong forward Chloe Shear is racing against the clock to be available for a size preliminary final on Saturday against Brisbane. She fractured her collarbone...
it's one of those ones where they're never going to say this, like, she's no chance. I reckon by Tuesday, Lowther will come and be like, "Yeah, she didn't get up."
Yeah,
which is a real shame, because she was our best goal kicker. I love her as a player. The fact also that we beat Melbourne without our number one goal kicker, and we kicked seven goals and had a lot of different avenues to goal. Like, Amy McDonald has never kicked more than one goal in a game. She kicked the first two, both fucked goals from stoppages. Jackie Parry was marking everything, and Maloney had a quieter game this week up forward. But geez, her ability to, like, if she doesn't win the mark, get to the drop of the ball out the back and just burn her defender and bomb it 45 metres down the line to a contest is unbelievable. Every line just lifted and found these extra little bits. And yes, like, your big names, your Morrisons, your Prasparkases, your McDonalds, they were awesome, both McDonalds. But it's like Renee Gehring is playing her last... Every game now is her last game because she's retiring.
Yep.
She's laying huge tackles. Like, in every forward stoppage, she looks like she's about to murder somebody every time the ball gets thrown up. She just is flattening people trying to get to the ball. Like, Shelley Scott had a huge game. Darcy Maloney had a huge game. Georgie Rankin had an awesome game on Alyssa Bannon. Like... These are the next tier of players who are just humming, and it's really exciting to see, and it's good to see that belief. And there was an interview with Becky Webster today that Gemma also did, where Gemma was talking about how Becky Webster and the team rolled in being like, well, we belong here, so we can win, and that's all that matters. We belong at this final, in this game, in this competition against Melbourne, and it was so exciting to see. The last quarter, I think, took 30 to 50 years off my life.
As it should.
I feel how the New York Knicks coach looks.
Oh, my God. Now I'm concerned.
I had to stand. So I watched it at home. I did have tickets. My mum and dad went. Sean, we were going to go.
Yeah.
COVID fucked our plans. So yep. I watched it from home. My mum and dad still went.
Yep.
I saw them on the TV twice.
Yeah, they got some prime time seats.
They got some good seats. A lot of crowd
action. The camera loves Terrence.
It does. It's just drawn to him.
Yeah. He's a star.
And they said
the
crowd was
silver screen.
He's going to be my most watched on Letterboxd by the end of this year.
Yeah, my dad.
They were saying the Geelong crowd was really rowdy. They were doing chants the whole game, like from start to finish. The vibes were incredible, but obviously I couldn't be there to experience that. So instead, for the whole last quarter, as it suddenly became turbo stress, I had to stand behind my couch so that I was close to the balcony just in case.
Yeah, fair enough. If I am not mistaken, I think there was more people at the Essendon Geelong game than there was the Melbourne Geelong semi.
Yes. Yeah, so 5,700, which is the most ever for a semi.
Yep.
And from what I've heard, a pretty healthy Geelong crowd too, which is awesome to hear. Like, that's Melbourne's home game. They had party buses that drove people up the highway, which is...
I love that.
Oh, yeah, right? Right?
Fuck.
Those buses would have been humming on the way home.
Your parents should have caught the bus.
Yeah, no, they caught the train, so the dad could eat a Straz roll on the train.
Like, the party train.
Favorite thing to do.
Hey,
T-Man was on it. It's always a party train.
If Essendon had a party bus that drove to Geelong and then we beat Geelong, I'd be asking to drive the bus back and would be driving yeah. fast and drifting frequently. And the horn would be absolutely copying it.
The horn would just be your club song, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just as you drift past the BP near the airport, taking out four cars, doesn't matter. They let you go. The cops let you go. They're like, what happened? Essendon won. Oh, no charge, sir. No charge.
Driving 170 kilometres an hour, entirely sideways, taking up four lanes of traffic. Be beautiful.
But yeah, that whole last quarter I had to, watch from standing up. And to the point where, like, it took like 10 seconds for me to realise that the clock had finished. They weren't paying a mark. The ball was dead. The game was over. So, like, the siren went and there's probably 10 seconds before I actually could actually get excited and cheer, because I was still stuck, as you said, Sean, in a certain territory. And it was not my territory.
Fucking, you were rattled, Tom.
The way they came home, I mean, what helped us is they kicked those sort of those quick few goals, and then a huge play from Darcy Maloney to Ash Maloney. Like, that's a ripping kick at speed through traffic over the back of three Melbourne defenders, and she's just used her body beautifully, clutch mark. And I have to say, directly in front, I was also stressed. I'm like, I've seen her miss this exact shot before because she's got a bit of that Irish hook kick to it, but sailed through. And that was the one we needed. Like, that was it. That was the goal that we won it by. And I just knew that if we went to OT, extra time, I didn't know if we had.
Well,
I didn't know if we had any more to give.
Tom, overtime would have been your worst nightmare, because for anyone who is unaware, Melbourne kicked 5-2 in the last quarter, compared to Geelong's 1-1.
Yeah.
So you would have lost by 10 if it went to overtime.
Well, we don't know.
You never know.
I nearly messaged you, Tom, with 3 minutes to go, because I sort of was feeling pretty certain. I was going to be like, I think you're home now, Tom. Because it felt to me like you'd weathered. They had that burst at the start of the quarter, and then you sort of balanced things out a bit. And I thought,
yeah, there was like a 10-minute period in the middle.
And then ten seconds after I was thinking of messaging that, Melbourne just took it down and kicked a goal, and I went, oh boy, fucking hell.
Yeah.
And then another one.
It was that thing of like Eden Zanka, who had been like, Claudia Ganjarg had done such a good job on Zanka all day.
And then Zanka
just went
said,
ballistic.
Yeah,
just
what if I kick 3 in the last quarter? Massive.
But She hasn't kicked, that was her, she hadn't kicked a goal for like 11 quarters or something absurd like that up until that point.
Jesus.
Tom, I loved Meg Mack's game.
Oh,
I just think
real
she's
captain's
a,
game.
She's an awesome leader. She's my second favourite team.
I know, mate. She deserves, hey, she deserves a medal, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe not this time. But, you know, you're talking about Geelong saying that they believe, and it's kind of what you've watched for the last few years. They've just been building towards it. There's kind of like, it reminds me a bit, actually both semifinals this week reminded me of the men's prelim final in 2020 where Geelong smashed Brisbane.
Yeah.
Where we came away from that game and Brisbane were just kind of like, they're just too, like, they're just bigger and stronger. Like, the development-wise, they're just years ahead of us, and we've got to, you know, bring new people in. We've got to keep training harder. Geelong have sort of been building. I think, like, even if you played this game last year, Melbourne would have smashed you, I think.
Oh, well, you look at last year, we lose that elimination final to North by 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, and you know, the year before that, we miss out on finals, but we have a couple of close losses, so it's like, oh, we're getting there. And even earlier in this year, as the team was still starting to gel, like, Melbourne smashed us by 49 points.
Mm.
And it was a lot of stuff at the back. They were able to get free too much. And it's basically, it feels like Dan Lowther and the team went away, his coaching team, they looked at that game, they went to the players, and they were like, all right, this is what Melbourne did to us last time. And they didn't do it for 3.5 quarters, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of them. It was fucking awesome. Meg Mack was awesome. Again, it was every player lifted and did their part, and that's what you need. You need everybody in, and like Kate Darby too. Just like, she was clunking everything. It's just so good to see just these players lift and have a bit of belief. And again, very funny that Melbourne went out in straight sets in both legs.
That very is funny.
They looked unbeatable earlier in this season.
What are your expectations for next week, Tom?
We're going to go up to fucking Springfield and we're going to fucking give you an absolute run for it, Sean. Game on.
Mm. Wow. Powerful words from a fuckwit of a man.
Yep.
hey, the positive I take from this prelim matchup is that at least Howgood's footy is in the grand final regardless of the result.
Yeah, that's a great point. A very great point.
Friendship makes the grand final.
And like, I don't know what to expect with Brisbane. There's been games this year where I'm like, what is going on up there?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with this team. And then there are other times where I'm like, the pressure's through the roof and they look unstoppable. So it's just
what
Brisbane is going to show up, what Brisbane is Geelong's level of play going to allow to show up. Yeah, it could be a great game.
It would be fun.
How much petrol do we have left in the tank after this week?
Well, you never know. I thought you were going to say how much petrol will it take us to drive to Queensland and watch this game. Are we flying
hours
up, Tom?
Oh, my dad immediately sent me a screenshot of Jetstar tickets.
Yeah.
How much
the prices decent?
Not bad, actually. Only 90 bucks.
90 bucks?
What'd you say?
Yeah.
$90?
Jesus Christ, Tom.
Then you've got to get from the Gold Coast to Springfield.
Fucking hell.
Well, getting from the Gold Coast to Brighton Homes Arena is a 1-hour drive. So for anyone who's listening to this and...
That's Geelong to Melbourne.
Yep. Whew. Anyone that's listening, get on a plane. Sean, you know what to do.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, the other final that we haven't spoken about, because it was semi-finals this week, Adelaide did to Sydney what everyone expected to happen, which was beat them by 67 points.
Yes, this is a case of a team that is very much like a second-year team and just physically are not sort of capable of matching it with the big, big guns.
Yeah.
And Adelaide, you know, along with Brisbane and Melbourne, they're about as seasoned as a team gets, really, in this comp.
Like, what's that?
They're too fucking good.
It felt like watching, you know, when like an up-and-coming tennis player rolls into like one of the big slams, right?
Yeah, and they make a semi-final or they make a final and surprise, and everyone's riding the wave and they think, whoa, anything could happen, and then bam,
and they run into a Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, you know, Andy Murray, one of the big three or four.
Six love.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's what it feels like. It feels like, although maybe the tide is shifting with Melbourne being straight-setted, so maybe there is that development coming.
I don't know. Melbourne just look like
shit.
Their last 3 weeks, they were just a shadow. They were just a completely different team.
It's crazy.
I think that some of Melbourne's lists are going to be overshadowed by younger talent coming through. I think that some of the stars of the last couple of seasons, and Melbourne aren't the only team where this is going to happen, but there's a couple of like huge AFLW stars that will not be able to compete with like 19-year-olds in the next couple of years because the 19-year-olds are going to be so much better.
Yeah, and I think maybe, hopefully, this result for Melbourne, for the rest of us, might finally see them start to lose some players to other teams. That'd be nice.
Well, yeah.
It was interesting in the coverage immediately after the game. I was watching it on Fox, and they had Ellie Blackburn and Ruby Schleicher on. And Ruby Schleicher was like, I hope, like, that's going to be the interest is what they were like, oh, you know, what happens next for Melbourne? How do they regroup? And Ruby's like, well, it's not even that. It's can they keep their list together another season? Because it was like, oh, we'll stick together for the premiership defence. All right, well now, you know, people are going to come knocking for like various people, especially with the trade period being expanded again. And
yep.
People will see what Chloe Malloy did at Sydney and there'll be people that'll be like, maybe I want to do that. Maybe yeah. I want to be part of like a new club.
Yep. Called the Brisbane Lions. I want some big guns. Bring them home.
Who's from Queensland in that team?
No, I don't know. Like, when they move there, then it's called home, Tom.
Anyone can come home.
That's true.
Hey, yeah. If you're going to Brisbane, you're going home. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from.
Let's bring Taylor Harris home.
Holmes Arena.
Yeah, bring Taylor Harris home. Although she struggled this year.
I think she was injured, particularly in this game. She looked like she was struggling.
But also, just going back to the result, this doesn't hurt Sydney in any way. Them beating Gold Coast was their grand final, basically.
Yeah.
Their round one win was their grand final. Like, they didn't win a single game last year. Their goal was, can we win two or three games?
Yeah.
They exceeded that. They make the finals. They win a huge final away. And it's like, yes, look, you would have loved them to be competitive. And for most of that first quarter and even parts of the second quarter, you're looking at it and you're going, oh, the scoreboard's getting away from them a bit, but like they look like they can, they're competing in their tackling and their running. They just can't get through the score and then
they couldn't break through numbers. The wall.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
and particularly like yeah, the scoreboard's close in that first quarter, but like the inside 50s was something like 15-2 or 13-2 or something like that at quarter time.
That's it. And eventually,
and it's just like eventually just can't compete with that. You just can't. Adelaide's just.
Yeah,
runs in waves and are too powerful. They got too many guns. Anne Hatchard had like one of the best finals games ever.
She had the most disposals in a final ever with 36.
And was there a stat where like 30 plus and two goals hasn't been done in a final yet?
I don't know if that's a stat, but she definitely did do that.
Yeah, I think that was a thing.
10
as well.
Marks, 6 tackles, 2 goals, 36 touches, 153 fantasy points.
Yeah,
just
yum yum.
Went absolutely off chops. What was also interesting is Danielle Ponta being used further up the ground. She had like 9 clearances and like 20 touches or something like that. Mm. Like I'm used to seeing her as a small forward. Adelaide do this thing every season where they just shuffle the magnets around and it fucking works for them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Great coach, one of the best.
So
he's always so calm on the boundary. Every time they cut to him, he's just sipping some water out of a fucking little paper cup.
It's funny because if you just looked at a photo of him, you'd assume he's the most stressed man in the world. He looks so fucking tired.
Yeah.
He's looked like that even when he was a player for Brisbane back in the day. He's just always sort of had like bags under his eyes and you're like, man, you need to get like, some sleep.
Motherfucker looks like he goes to bed at 3 a.m. and gets up at 5:30.
He probably does. He's just watching game tape constantly.
That's why he's so relaxed. Yeah. He's numb from no sleep, but also he's watched every game.
I think he's drinking water out of the paper cup, but it's just constant coffee, just all game. Farmers Union iced coffee, I think.
100%. If you get close to him.
Did we get told that was from South Australia?
It is. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe that is true. So how are you both feeling about next week? I know Tom's already voiced his feelings. Actually, you both have. How are we feeling about the other game?
I think that Adelaide will win.
Huge.
It should be juicy. North look like they really set themselves. They're kind of sick of losing to all the good teams around them.
Yeah.
So they were happy to bash Melbourne, and they'll probably be pretty keen to do it to Adelaide. I just don't know if they will. Adelaide...
They only lost by 3 points in the corresponding game, and it was that one where Neve Kelly kicked that goal with like a few seconds left, and then North had a couple of chances at the other end and missed them.
Won't shock me at all if North win, but I just reckon Adelaide have another level to go. Accuracy will be the thing. Like when Adelaide lose, they can be as dominant as they want in the midfield and with the tackling pressure and the disposals and all of that, but like they need to actually convert it.
Yeah. Just going on what Tom said, would love to see Neve Campbell get amongst the AFLW. She might be a bit old, but I think she's still got the magic.
Yeah, do some scream at the MCG, baby. Yeah.
Also,
Ghostface it, full forward.
For us, I think we'd probably want North to win, just so that we finally get a fucking grand final down here after all these years.
Oh,
it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, if North win, it will be in Melbourne. Even if Brisbane win, because Brisbane were fourth and North were third. That's right, isn't it?
That is correct, yeah. So North are the number one seed, which is why I find it interesting that their game is on Sunday afternoon.
Yep. I would have thought Sunday afternoon.
The top team gets first crack at a prelim because then you get a longer break. So I'm confused by that. I guess if North win, it won't matter. If North win, it's going to be in Melbourne. They're not going to have to travel as well.
Sean.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't really know why they've done it.
Sean.
I don't think they've explained it.
Here's why they've done it. In AFLW, anything goes.
It's fucking wild. So if North win and Brisbane win, I will be very happy, but also a little bit heartbroken because I'm actually not going to be here grand final weekend. I'm already going to be in Germany.
Taking the game abroad.
Gonna have to. Yep. Does KO work overseas?
No. But I know a little trick for all of our listeners, if they're based in Australia and they go overseas and they want to use KO, if you've got a Australian phone, if you turn off Wi-Fi, KO will work, even though you're abroad. Obviously, you need a juicy data plan and use of your phone while you're overseas, but that will work. But the moment you connect to Wi-Fi, it'll be like, whoop! You're actually not where you're meant to be. Fuck off.
I'll find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know that...
Can you not watch it on the AFLW app?
Oh, yeah, actually.
I'm pretty sure.
AFLW is easier.
Actually, yeah, you might still be able to do that.
Yeah.
You can watch it through the app.
Yeah. But even, like, I know, like, my girlfriend was over there when the men's grand final was on, and she, like, went to, like, there was an event at a pub there, and people were watching it. I don't know if it'll be the same for W, but
I
would hope so.
It'd be huge if it is.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to host an event over there.
Within like 2 days of getting there.
Yeah, that reminds me, don't we have a German listener who plays in a footy team over there?
Maybe.
Oh yeah, Moritz?
Moritz, hit up the show. Maybe I could swing by and coach a game while I'm over there. I don't know if the timing's going to line up.
Better dust up on your German, mate.
I think everyone understands. Fuck!
Kick it forward, you stupid cunts!
Where's the nearest bridge?
If you miss this shot, I will kill myself! All right, so that's the two games and the two upcoming games for AFLW taken care of. But there's a couple more things we need to just get through before we can end today's episode. One.
Boys, I have a question for you. How good's cricket?
Tom, I am so tired, and that's because I woke up at 8:30 this morning after going to bed at 3:15 a.m. because I accidentally watched the entire World Cup final.
The stamina on you is insane, mate, because I angrily fell asleep after Mitch Marsh threw his wicket away.
Oh, which means that you slept through Steve Smith...
The no review.
Not reviewing a plum not out decision.
Yeah, I've since caught up and watched that. Madness from him. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
But
well, he did try. Travis Head.
Yeah, he trusted Travis Head. And then he went, okay.
I think Travis went, I'm the captain now.
What was funny was that I went to bed because it was getting late when Australia was starting to bat. And I set my iPad up and I was sort of like watching it in bed. And then when I got angry that Mitch Marsh went out, and I messaged you guys and said, fuck this, I'm going to sleep, I forgot to turn the iPad off. So I woke up like in the early hours of the morning and KO had started repeating the broadcast.
Yep.
And I went, fuck, did we win? And it was on like a bit where like after the game, everyone looked really happy. And I was like, shit, Maxwell's smiling. I think we won the fucking game. And then I went back through and was watching highlights at probably like, I don't know. What time did the game end? Because I was watching stuff at probably 6 in the morning.
The game ended at about 10 to 3 or like 5 to 3.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so for anyone who is unaware, Australia versus India in the Cricket World Cup final, a place where Australia probably was so lucky to make finals, let alone make the final. And
we had to win 7 in a row to get through the group stages because we dropped the first two.
Yep.
And we had some shaky moments and also some big goddamn hero moments from Head, Maxwell, Zampa, Marsh, just some boys who look like they were dead lifting.
So, for example, there was a game against Afghanistan where we were 7 for 74. But then Glenn Maxwell made 201 not out of 132 balls.
While not being able to walk properly. Body cramp.
There was another game where, again, Glenn Maxwell made 100 off, what, 40 balls? 39. Beat the previous...
Fastest ever century.
Beat it by, like, 7 balls, though.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's juicy shit.
Adam Zampa is now the equal highest wicket taker for Australia in a World Cup series.
Yep.
Adam Zampa.
He had a game where he took four. He took four and then I think batted like 40 or something in the chase, like to just... And if you go on his Instagram, it is fucked and it's great.
He seems like him and Travis Head are maybe best friends based on what he keeps posting. And it's a dangerous combo.
He's got slicked blonde hair and an earring, and he's a spinner, and he loves his wife, and he loves his farm, and his username on Instagram is Limoncello Puppy.
Has he got a farm?
Yeah, horses.
And he's a wife guy.
And a wife guy.
And Sean, you should see how he fucking looked at his own wedding.
Okay. He loves also wearing the most fuck sunnies in the world. Also, so he was playing with like either a back or a shoulder injury. Travis Head came back from a fractured finger or hand. Multiple times players were going down injured. Marnus Labuschagne, who ended up playing the whole series, wasn't supposed to be there. Like, and was a key part of being the solid, you know, person at the other end while Travis Head was going, doing fireworks. Like, there's so many layers to this victory. And the best part about it is, England came fucking last or something. Don't care if they didn't come last. They basically came last. And India rolled into this full of, we're going to fucking win. And Virat Kohli, get fucked, big dog.
I like Virat.
I've met him and he was nice.
I do as well.
Yeah, I think he's a nice boy who's a psycho on the cricket pitch.
He's lippy, but he's switched on lippy.
Yeah.
He's lippy.
Like Michael Voss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that was great to see was Cummins' captaincy in the first innings in this final. were so good. Like, I think at one point there was like 96 or 98 overs balls without a
it was 98 balls without a boundary, and the only team that went longer was Netherlands, who finished last.
Was the Netherlands. And also, at one point, over seven overs, used eight bowlers just to completely disrupt what India were trying to get a read on anything happening.
I love that. That's juicy. He's a good captain.
Yeah, a lot of people...
won the toss and went, we'll have a field, thanks, champ.
And everyone was like, what the fuck? India's going to make 600. Wrong.
Travis Head took a fucked catch as well.
Travis Head took a such a fucked catch. Yeah, it was really good stuff. I'm very tired. But I'd do it all again. I get sucked into cricket madness so easy.
Joel, you're a cricket boy. Yeah. Is this Australia's best World Cup win ever?
No, I don't think so. I think
not with the context.
Well, I think
poor start, injured players, selection issues, massive home ground advantage to India, overwhelming favourites.
I think that all of those things play into it, but I think that, and this is going to sound crazy, but I think that the standard of team at the moment across the board is lower than usual.
Interesting.
Like,
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I agree with that. I agree.
I think
with
that,
what?
No.
With what Joel said.
I think that if you compare the teams, like the teams that South Africa or India or England, for example, have rolled into World Cups with before, these ones don't stack up anywhere near as high.
I disagree. This Indian team that we beat on the weekend is one of the stronger Indian teams they put forward for some years. Their bowling attack was fit and firing. Their batting attack was juicy.
Yep.
Yes, there's no Sachin Tendulkar, but Virat Kohli's out there. Like, fuck.
Tom. Joel means collectively, all the teams. He means we got a weak England, we got South Africa who just couldn't get it done, Sri Lanka, like just West Indies. Teams have been stronger in the past, he means.
No West Indies. No West Indies. West Indies didn't qualify, which is why the Netherlands are in there.
In the past, we've had strong West Indies teams.
Tom. I disagree.
I don't know how you can disagree. Australia have had stronger teams before.
Which is why this makes this huge.
No, it is. I'm not taking you away from it. Tom, it's
Joel's
massive.
Saying that Joel's not having a crack at India, the quality of their team. He just means other teams that we played against have in the past had stronger outfits.
Tom, I'll reframe it. You know how every team can be bad in AFL?
Yes.
So Australia are at points in the last couple of years have been ranked number one team in certain areas of cricket. And they have still not been a good team.
Yep. Agree.
Not that they're not likable. I like, even our shit teams, I love them. Love Adam Zampa. Love fucking Glenn Maxwell. Love Travis Head.
Joel's spot on. There have been times when, say, Australia's been like the number one ranked test team in the world. And to believe in that hype is to paper over cracks that have been in the team.
But also, I will say that this has been a fucking huge year, and it absolutely points out that Pat Cummings was right. He is a Jet, and Justin Langer can fuck off.
Yep. Agree with everything you're saying, Joel.
Yeah, exactly, Tom. Tom, I'm not trying to take away from the fact that we won this World Cup, and it was a heist. It was a fucking heist. This was fucking Ocean's 11, or fucking Ocean.
That's why I loved it, Tom.
Ocean's 12.
I do love a heist. I think it's probably maybe the most important win of Cummins' career as a captain.
That old back. I thought you were going to say most important World Cup win for Australia.
I think he came in and there's been a lot of pressure on him since the Langer stuff, and there's been a lot of outside noise, and there was even criticisms of him going home earlier this year or late last year.
No, he ditched the IPL.
When his mum died.
Yep.
And so there was a lot of like, oh, he should have been there. You know, does he care? And basically, people like to jump on him because he's not a fuckhead.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge move from him. And I think it's a very gutsy win. I think 2003 is probably the better World Cup victory. That one was fucked. That's the comeback. That's the one that we had to win to make up for the one we lost type situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming.
Didn't we win in 99?
Yep. That's the Shane Warne where those photos of Shane Warne with the stump come from.
Yeah. So, Tom, in 03, what were they?
What, was it 03?
They won consecutive World Cups, so.
Yeah, but I think it was like we went into that one. Hang on, I'm looking up the Cricket World Cup.
I think we also won 07.
This was our sixth, yeah. Anyway,
it was good to see that Tom's stats are just as fucking messy no matter what sport it is.
Hey, Tom, when you Googled the Cricket World Cup, did you get the same thing I just did?
I guess I did.
So, Sean, if you look up Cricket World Cup at the moment, you get fireworks, and those fireworks make the Australian flag.
Oh, that's juicy. Did you guys play the game, the Google game?
Duh.
I think it may have only been happening during the actual game. So when you checked the scorecard last night, it came up with an option to pick what country you're playing for, and then you're batting against these different balls that are coming at you.
Whoa.
And it was collecting the scores of everyone. So like India had like over 100 million points just because there's so many people.
Yeah.
And Australia had like 18 million. So they smashed us. It was a fucking hard game.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, in 2003. Yeah. So Sean, you're right. We won in 99, 03 and 07. We won three 07. In a row.
The middle one sticks out for me, and I don't know why. There was something going into that was like...
Which is the one where Steve Waugh told the guy, you just dropped the World Cup?
I think it's 03.
03, maybe, yeah. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever heard.
It's so massive.
I love how silent Steve Waugh is these days. You just never really hear from him.
Yeah, this is the one where... Ricky Ponting scored 140 not out, and Glenn McGrath took three wickets.
2003 that's exactly when the drug saga starts for Shane Warne. He gets sent home two days into the tournament.
Whoa.
That's right.
Okay.
I knew there was something massive about 03. It was we lose Warne.
South Africa.
Not that it mattered.
2003 is seeing crazy.
But also the teams are juicier too. Like it's Tendulkar, it's Virender, like it's big names in India.
That's the exact fucking point Joel made 5 minutes ago.
You jumped down saying. My throat about.
Okay, I think we need to move on to emails. Hey, Joel, have we got any emails, buddy?
Just really quickly, listen to this, though. For the 2003 World Cup, the tournament saw numerous upsets with South Africa, Pakistan, West Indies, and England all being eliminated at the group stage, and South Africa missed out by one run after misreading the Duckworth-Lewis method rules.
I love it.
Oh, that's so good.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Joel, may I make a comment on something I've noticed in the footy tipping?
Yes, Sean.
As you're both aware, the footy tipping is over.
Yep.
We don't tip in the finals.
No.
Now, Joel, analysis paralysis.
Yep.
This won't shock you. They've continued to tip during the finals.
Yep.
And in doing so, have moved back into first position.
Yep.
And I just want to make it very clear to them. They definitely have not won this thing, and they will not win this thing.
No.
They lost. They fucked up. The most catastrophic fuck up anyone's ever made in the history of the world.
They were India.
And they're still a coward for not reaching out to the show to apologize.
Yep. They were India, and the rest of the tipping was Australia.
Yep. Heist.
I cannot stress enough how fucked up it is that we won the World Cup this week, though. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's cooked. Hmm. The whole tournament was cooked from start
and
to finish.
Everyone should
it's
check
very
out.
Very funny too, just on Adam Zampa and the whole thing and us not winning or whatever. There's a post he posted on his Instagram a photo of him in his like cricket gear, just holding a piece of paper that says receipts, and the caption on the photo is "Say less."
Also, someone commented being like the game was rigged, and he liked that comment, then turned comments off.
Hagrid's cricket, never in doubt.
Frustration that person, because if you go onto any Australian cricket player's Instagram at the moment, and I'm sure it'll change in the next couple of days, a lot of death threats.
Oh yeah,
a lot of death threats, a lot of calling them cunts, a lot of insults that don't translate super well to English, so chaos. It's all happening, but Adam Zampa, he's embracing it. He's posting videos of Travis Head somehow looking like 100 times more fucked than he's ever looked in his life. It's good stuff. Anyway, Sean, Tom,
yes,
listeners, Just a reminder, you can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. And this week we got a couple. Jess has emailed in. Hey, boys. First, I want to welcome back Sean. It's so good to hear your voice again. Second, here is a proof of my shrine of sadness. One for all of my badges of players who have left us, and Ryan Lester, as I promised. Phoebe Monaghan had a brief stay on said shrine as well, but seeing as we won against Adelaide, she has had a chance come off. That being said, she's on thin ice. If we don't win the grand final, she'll be right back there next to Leicester. Go Lions. Yeah. Yes.
I love she has two active players on the shrine of sadness.
Yeah, I love this. So a few weeks back, Phoebe Monaghan sort of came up in the Brisbane chat. She was doing a few Ryan Lester-y sort of things in the back line.
Yep.
And I think I said she is the women's team's Ryan Lester. And I'm glad to see she's hovering on the edge of the shrine.
So the shrine currently contains, and I reckon that this player can probably come off because they've gone to football heaven. Jess Wooshnell.
Yeah.
Jesse Wardlaw.
Yeah.
Greta Bodie.
Mm.
Lucinda Puller.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Lester.
It's where he belongs.
And it's a corkboard, and the corkboard has a note pinned to it as well that says, corkboard of sadness, with the drawing of a face crying. Every word is in a different color, so I respect the craftsmanship there, yeah. Jess. And I'll post it on our Instagram if you're cool with it. All right, and finally to bring us home, an email from Alex. And this is good. I've just had just a quick scan. It's juicy. Subject, there's a new arrogant team in town. Last week on the Siren, having watched Geelong dominate my beloved Bombers, I wished for them to have a repeat of their last game against Melbourne and suffer as I suffered. However, when I flicked on the match Sunday and saw the Cats up by 30, I realised how funny it would be for another straight sets demon exit this year. The McClelland winners and so-called best team in the league getting a combined zero finals wins between them. Most arrogant team, more like it! Maybe the men's and women's team can get together over summer and brainstorm how it's a game of four quarters, not a game of piss about for a half and then flick the switch. Go Cats. Prespakis for life. P.S.
Love it.
Juicy deal at JB Hi-Fi right now. They're 2 for $20 on movies and series is combining with their 30% off. Flogging DVDs and Blu-rays for $7 each. Go footy, go movies.
Have we talked about that on the show before?
What, the JB Hi-Fi deals? Or yeah. Go footy, go
maybe.
Movies? Surely.
That's good. That's good intel.
Yeah. Thank you,
that's
Alex.
That's good intel.
That is...
I think I've got to go to JB Hi-Fi tomorrow.
I get paid at time of recording tomorrow, at time of listening yesterday. So let it be known, I've bought something fucking stupid, listeners. And if you want to get
well, in... Isn't Barbie and Oppenheimer are both out right now?
Don't know if Oppenheimer's out yet.
I think it came out this week.
Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of juice around right now. There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to get around us and let us know, send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. Find us on our Instagram. It's at howgoodsfootypod. You will see the photo of the Shrine of Sadness. It's also, you can just follow us there. That's where we're doing stuff. We are on Twitter at howgoodsfooty, but don't worry about that. Yeah. Or you can find us individually. I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm a Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13. Good luck this weekend, boys. There is a team that I would like to see win. I will be keeping that close to my chest.
Thanks, Joel.
It's Brisbane. It's fine. Yeah.
And I hope that both of you know happiness in the future.
Sean, good luck, mate.
Thanks, Tom. You too.
Go footy.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.